ultimately, I just have to say, and even the research doctor himself will say, it was all God that did it. He's like, it was God. It was him. He maybe gave me some expertise and knowledge, but like, that's how this happened. And I've been in, you know, I don't know what you want to call it. The terms get confusing, but I've been no evidence of disease or remission since.
Yeah.
Oh, it's over 6.5 years now. So.
Welcome to the I Am Healing Strong podcast. I am Jim Mann along with Ali Powell. That is your name.
Thank
I have it written here. I had to find the note.
I didn't know what was going on. I was just waiting.
I didn't know what to call you at first. And I thought, okay. My dear friend, Ali Powell.
Do you even remember who we're talking to today?
I do. I had a great time talking to Chris Lawrence. I mean, we tried forever to connect. And in fact, I don't know when I did this one, but it's been a while. I mean, not a while, like 14 years. I mean, like a couple months ago, but still, the story is still the same. And he's a great guy. He's not in Healing Strong. He has something called hopehasarrived.com. Mm. And what he does, he doesn't have the groups, the support groups, what Healing Strong does, but he has a website where people come on there and they tell their stories. And he wants me to do that. And we haven't connected with that either. But hey, don't worry. I'll let you know, Ali, so you can run to the website and watch me.
I mean, you better share it.
I will. And I'll mention your name all the time.
Oh, yeah. You better give me my credit.
I will.
But I totally helped you in your journey.
You did. You did, even though I didn't know you at the time.
After hope did arrive, actually.
That's right. I said, Ali has arrived. I have that website. Yeah, anyway.
That's my new website. Actually, I would rather hear from him about his website, so let's hear.
All right. Today, I'm sitting down with Chris Lawrence. Chris, how you doing?
Doing great.
Yeah, it took us a little while. We tried to connect a couple different times, had to reschedule here and there, so had to work at this one, so it must be a really good story. I'm sure, right?
Yeah.
Well, you live in one of my favorite states, Colorado. I've been there just twice, and it just takes my breath away to see those snow-capped mountains. And I remember the first time I went there, I think it was in Estes Park, Colorado, and we were just hiking and we saw a storm coming, so we started jogging and then realized, oh my goodness, I can't breathe. The air is so thin up there. It was just incredible. I thought, man, this is great. And then at night, man, you've got all the stars right there, don't you?
Yeah, it's pretty awesome.
Yeah, I remember just laying down and just count shooting stars. I mean, can you go a night without seeing a shooting star when you look up?
For sure, but we're blessed to get some very clear days. You know, a lot. What is it? 300 plus days of sun a year. That's a real blessing.
Oh, wow.
And so then you get clear nights and you can see the stars often.
Man, it's just incredible. I can't wait to go back. Maybe I'll go back this week.
Yeah.
Well, Chris, you got a good thing going here. You got a website called hopehasarrived.com, right?
Yes.
And there's a lot of similarities between your organization and Healing Strong. And we just kind of crossed paths through Bailey O'Brien and several other people. But tell me, you have a story. You yourself had cancer, right?
Yes, I did.
Tell me how that happened.
Well, it was actually back in... it'd have been like 2015. I kind of started getting some strange symptoms, but at the time I was living in Colorado, and I'm originally from South Dakota, but I married into Colorado. My wife is from here, and we were living near Longmont, and I was working for an outdoor ministry and just leading a lot of different, you know, outdoor trips with college students, and it was a great life. We were enjoying life. We just had our daughter. Her name is Pippa, and it was just a real blessing. And, you know, and I'm a pretty active guy, not just for work, but for fun too. And I was, you know, doing a lot of like running and triathlons and mountain biking and stuff. And I started kind of getting this lower back pain, and it was strange because I had no incident of injury, didn't have a history of back problems. And I started talking to some physical therapists and then eventually a doctor, and they're like, oh, you're too young and healthy. This is going to, you know, give it time. This is going to get better. And it definitely did not get better. It got worse. And, you know, I didn't know what a back spasm was, but I certainly found out. And, you know, eventually they found out, you know, I remember I got this phone call, and, you know, I kind of pulled over because I'm like, oh, this guy the doctor was kind of broken up. I'm like, that's not good when the doctor is about to tell you news and he's broken up. And, you know, he's like, it's cancer and it's spreading from somewhere else. And I'm just like, what? You know, it's like kind of like double whammy. And, you know, my wife and I were just floored, like in a bad way, like just devastated because, you know, it's not only is it cancer, but it's really bad cancer. And, you know, I was later to find out it was stage four bile duct cancer, which I didn't know anything about that. I didn't really know much about cancer. It hasn't really, up until that point, crossed my path very much. And now it's crossed my path a lot, but that's kind of how it started.
Wow. What were you doing at that time?
Yeah. So I was working full time, you know, doing outdoor trips, like for an outdoor program.
Yeah.
And, you know, I was taking people rock climbing every week. I was taking them rafting. I was, you know, and we were, you know, we were leading retreats and things like that. At a lot of the different campuses in the whole Front Range of Colorado. And, you know, I have a writing background as well. I was a journalist for a while. And then I think I maybe had a quarter life crisis or something where I'm like, I, you know, love outdoor sports and I want to do this. And I love to guide. That's something that I still do that today. Though Hope Has Arrived is kind of more my main focus. And then I get to do some guiding on the side, but that's what we were doing. And then I, you know, kind of started having those symptoms of the pain that I couldn't ignore. And that started to sideline me. And then I found out that news and then just everything kind of blew up, you know, in my life.
Yeah. So what did the doctors want to do? I mean, what kind of protocol do they want to put you on?
Well, it was terrible news. And honestly, there's like, they gave me very little hope, you know, especially the ones I met with in Colorado. And I mean, going back, it's difficult to, cause now I know what I know now and the people I've talked to, I'm like, it's not always like, I understand like people like doctors are not trying to be hurtful, but like, I think there's more hope than they were giving me at that point, you know, like even just the way some treatment has come on the scene with immunotherapy and just some other breakthroughs and things that they know and they did know that have brought more hope to that landscape. But at the time they're like, yeah, sorry, there's really nothing we can do. You have a year, maybe a year and a half left and then you'll be gone. And you know, we were pretty shell-shocked.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah. Yeah. It was rough. And we, on a whim, you know, I was talking to my parents and they're like, hey, why don't you come back to South Dakota? Like, let's meet with some doctors here. And, you know, obviously they kind of blew early detection out there because I'd been having these symptoms for a while. And I was like, yeah, maybe I need to come home. And really, we were just so in shock that, and just didn't know which way was up. Like a lot of people face, you know, like when they get a diagnosis.
Yeah.
So we pretty much moved overnight. You know, my wife, my daughter and I, we moved back to South Dakota and they surprisingly have really good care in Sioux Falls, South Dakota. It's kind of crazy. Actually, there's these two health systems and one of the, it's a long story, but what happened through a series of events, I met with a doctor, I met with another one and it was all kind of the same stuff. You know, this is not good. Not much hope here. You can do chemo, but it's not going to do much for you. Maybe it'll extend your life a little bit. And then somehow I got connected with this other doctor. He's a research doctor. His name is Dr. Leland Jones, and he's still out there. He works for NFCR, the National Foundation for Cancer Research. He's a pretty distinguished guy. But he, when we met with him, he said something totally different. He's like, oh, you know, I just did some genomic sequencing on you, and I actually know how to treat this.
Wow.
And I'm just like, we're just like, what? And they're like, who is this guy? First of all, you know, comes in there with this British accent. And he was, you know, he was kind. He was confident. You know, he's like kind of what you want a doctor, smart, you know. Yeah. And I'm just like, what? And it was so crazy because it was this moment where it's like we kind of felt like hope for the first time on the journey. And, you know, my wife and I, my family, we're really strong. You know, I got a relationship with God and have been really close to them for most of my life. And so I felt like I always had hope, I always had spiritual hope, but I didn't really know what was happening. Like, you know, sometimes people don't live as long as they want to. And so I didn't know what God had for me. I did not know where this was going. But when we met with this doctor, I felt like God used this guy to just bring hope. And there wasn't a guarantee. He wasn't saying like, you know, I'm going to cure you in 2 months. You know, he's like, I know how to treat this. So it kind of gave us hope. I'm like, okay. So I end up going through this treatment, and, you know, within a few months, my scan started showing clear. And, you know, we did some other stuff too. I, you know, we ate healthier. We were already eating pretty healthy. You know, we lived in Colorado. I've always been very active, tried to take care of myself, but we had to step that up too. And you know, within a few months, yeah, scans started showing clear, but it was kind of an interesting, it was still kind of a battle, because conventional medicine is like, nah, this doesn't happen. Sorry. I don't, whatever, you know, this is,
yeah,
there's no cure for this. You're still hosed, you know?
That's right.
And I'm like, well, what's happening here then? You know? And it's like, I think, you know, God was using this doctor, and he was not blowing smoke about, I know how to treat this. He knew what he was doing. And that approach is, a lot of places have been using it, you know, just trying to not just treat cancer blindly, zapping you with chemo, but like trying to target, you know, what's causing your cancer. And that's what he was very effective at doing. And it's been cool to see that swept the cancer world. And I think that, you know, it's always difficult to explain, because there's a lot of different things that go into healing. Like, I was pretty healthy going into it, so that helped. But I just have to say, and even the research doctor himself will say, it was all God that did it. He's like, it was God. It was him. He maybe he gave me some expertise and knowledge, but like, that's how this happened. And yeah, I've been in, you know, I don't know what you want to call it. The terms get confusing, but I've been no evidence of disease or remission since.
Yeah.
Oh, it's over 6.5 years now. So.
Wow.
Yeah. It's kind of crazy.
Your daughter's name is Peppa?
Pippa.
Pippa. Okay. That's a cool name.
Hey, thanks.
how old was she when you were diagnosed?
Oh, like 4 months or 5 months. I mean, it was terrible. It was like, we were just getting started. My wife and I got married a little bit later than we wanted to. You know, we didn't meet until our early 30s, and then, you know, got married whatever, a year after that. And it just, she's the kind of girl though, that I, when I met her, like, my grandparents had celebrated over 50 years of marriage. And I'm like, was it 70? I think they hit 70 years of marriage. It was crazy.
Wow.
And I'm like, now I met the girl that I could spend 7 years with this girl, but we met just later. So I don't know if that's going to, I don't know if we're going to make that.
You see, you but squeeze then
this,
it in.
Yeah. This diagnosis comes though, and it's just like, everything is blown up, and everything we ever hoped for was like threatened, if not gone. And then, you know, we had our daughter, and that was kind of you know, she was such a blessing. And now it's like, what is happening here? I feel like all these good things in my life, like, it's all threatened, and I'm gonna have to leave these two behind. I mean, it was such a hard time.
yeah. Of course, obviously, you don't want to leave your wife, but there's something about having a little kid that gives you an extra incentive to live.
Oh yes, yes.
Man.
Yeah, absolutely.
I have 4 kids, and as soon as I got my diagnosis, I thought, oh my gosh, I got to make all these videos so they can play, you know, at their graduation, their wedding, and all this stuff. That was the thing that kept me going. And again, I didn't want to leave my wife, but, you know, she's a grown up. She could live without me probably better than I want her to. But the kids, you know, they're still vulnerable. They're still young. They need guidance. And like, you just want to be there for them. So that also, I find, kind of gives you a drive to a little fighting spirit in there, because you want to be around for them. And of course, when you find that hope that you talk about, that makes all the difference in the world. I remember when I went on the websites and I looked up Healing Strong and Chris Wark, for the first time, I felt hope rather than the doctor saying, this is pretty bad. You know, get a month or two to live.
Yeah.
Enjoy them. But, and they were very good doctors. Don't get me wrong. They weren't like talking doom, even though that does sound like it, but they're letting me know how serious it was and how they caught it at stage 4. So, you know, that's kind of rough. Melanoma is nothing to sneeze over. But then when I saw, wow, there are ways. Cancer does not have to be a death sentence. And it's amazing how all the different ways to get healthy or to get over cancer, not like it's a cold or anything. I mean, it's not an easy thing, but God made us so incredible. I mean, the more we learn about things like our bodies, the more we realize we don't know, because it is so complicated. thank God he can handle it. He knows all about it. He knows us inside and out. And usually, I mean, lots of people think, well, God's going to heal me. And they treat him like a genie. And he could heal us, you know, on the spot. Obviously, he can grow an arm out of our forehead if he wanted to. There's really no need for that, unless you want to just reach stuff on higher shelves. That'd be kind of nice. Other than that, it would look kind of weird. I find that he normally lets us go through these valleys because that's, you know, where we learn things. That's where we grow. That's where we learn to trust him. That faith comes in knowing there is hope because of God. I don't know about you, but most people I talk to, have interviewed, they're like, I would not change anything. It wasn't enjoyable. You know, no one likes the surgery or whatever it is you have to go through or any kind of treatments, but it's, you know, you've grown so much when you look back and see where he's brought you through. And I know I'm no longer afraid of facing death, you know, because it really makes you think about, wow, this is serious. This could be the end. Though I don't want to leave my family, but I'm like, hey, I'm ready to go when it is time, but just don't want to do it before it is time. So now when you look back, would you change anything?
That's a good question. I mean, it's hard because it's like there's elements of it and elements of the suffering. It's like, oh, I wish that never happened. Yeah. And just some of the treatment, I think some of the social things too, of just, you know, being someone with cancer and having a really heavy diagnosis and that's a mess. But I think to answer your question, I mean, I think I felt like I understood the hope that God provided before cancer, but it's definitely been deepened. And so there's aspects of that I would never change. And then I think it made me so much more aware of like what other people are going through, some of the suffering and just trying to, you know, this opportunity with Hope Has Arrived is a really meaningful thing to be able to try and find, help others find hope in the midst of something really hard. And I wouldn't change that. I wouldn't change that. I mean, I think on the overall, what I'm getting at is I'm like, yeah, I don't think I would, but I can't gloss over and say that suffering was really hard.
Yeah. I'm not saying I want to go back and have that operation I had because that was not fun, but just going through a valley like that, I'm just I'm a better person because of it.
Yeah.
You know how it is. When you go through life with no problems or anything, you usually end up being a shallow person that doesn't really understand other people's problems. But
yeah,
you know, when you do go through valleys, you know, you're able to help other people. And I think it's, you know, pretty much how God wants us to be, because, you know, helping our brothers and sisters, because once you are going through something and then all of a sudden you see other people that are going through that you normally wouldn't recognize or even notice people going through something. Cause you know, someone's not going to come up to you and just tell them how bad they have it necessarily. But if they see you going through something, then they're able to open up and share what they're going through.
Yeah.
And we can just help each other out.
Yeah. And I think that is, especially if someone hasn't gone through cancer, kind of peering in, the response I usually get is they're like, there's nothing good you could experience there. And I'm like, that's not true at all, actually. You know, I wrote an article, it was called The Upside of Cancer, and the response was mostly really positive. It was actually kind of polarizing. It was mostly positive, but then there's a few people like, I hate this. And I think that's what that kind of question produces. But I think when people peer in and they see what survivors go through in the perspective, because what you're talking about, Jim, I totally understand that. It's like, yeah, it does awaken you to things. Like, you don't fear death like you did before. It gives you a whole greater appreciation of life, some thankfulness. It awakens you to be more compassionate for others. I think it also asks questions like, am I really doing, you know, am I using my life the best I possibly could? Mm-hmm. And, you know, for me as someone who, like, you know, I follow Christ, I follow, you know, God, I ask, Lord, am I using the life you've given me in the best way you want me to? And it, you know, prompted some really good soul searching with that. And then I think Hope Has Arrived was part of that. But it also just interpersonally helped me with some questions. Like, I remember just talking with my wife, like, we had a really good marriage, an awesome marriage. It's been really wonderful. But going through this, I think I asked the question, I'm like, hey, you know, I'm aware that life is a lot more uncertain than I'd like to say. How can I be a better husband? Like, I want to honestly know what you think. Like, we have a great marriage, but where's some blind spots? And it's been some of the sweetest conversations that I think people that come close to death or the possibility or whatever you want to say, like you just start thinking more deeply. And those are some of the gems that, you know, that people who've gone through cancer, or, and I would even say maybe their family members too, because they kind of go through it with them, or those that are kind of in their circle, like there's some of these real upsides to an otherwise terrible situation.
How did Hope Has Arrived come about?
Oh yeah, that's a great question. Well, I mentioned that, you know, I met with that doctor that day, you know, that day that we met with him, we kind of wrote it down. We're like, that was the day that Hope had arrived. Hmm. And the title of that, of our our nonprofit, it's more than that, because we speak a lot about spiritual hope and the hope that God provides and that he's already provided, you know, for anybody who wants it. And so, I mean, there's kind of two meanings of it. It's my personal story, and then also just about that hope. And I would also say that kind of the other layer is that there is more hope today as medical knowledge and breakthroughs continue to increase. And, you know, even like, there's a lot of organizations pushing for that, which is cool. But I just think there's hope has arrived for people. And so kind of how it started was, after that day, my dad, actually, he was in that meeting. My dad and my wife were within that meeting with that doctor. He reserved the URL hopehasarrived.com. Hmm. And he told me about it, I don't know, not long after, but I'm like, I can't talk about this right now. I'm like, I'm just going through this. I don't even, you know, you heard what all those other doctors said, like, this guy's giving us hope, but you know, but anyway, my dad's kind of he's like that. He's that kind of bold person of belief and vision. And, but, eventually, you know, as I was kind of getting through it, I saw that there was a huge opportunity to help other people. And, we started it in 2018. The purpose is to help people find hope, strength, and peace against cancer. And, you know, we're mostly digital based. My background, I'm a journalist, I'm a writer. And, you know, we tell stories of hope. We have helpful articles and then a prayer and support group. And the stories of hope, we're almost at 40 of them now. And I interview people, I tell their story. And it's been amazing to see how many people have read those and have been encouraged by those. I just think it's always an interesting question to ask, like, how did you find hope, strength, and peace on your journey? And so, yeah, we started it, and you know, you never know how it's going to go, but it's really taken off. I think by the end of this year, we'll, you know, God willing, we'll reach, it'll be 2 million people that we've reached.
Wow. That's amazing.
Yeah, so yeah, I never would have thought that. I'll tell you that. You told me that. First of all, you told me, like, whatever, before I had cancer, you're going to get cancer. I'd be like, no, I'm not. You're going to start this organization and help other people. I'd be like, this is crazy. I can't hear this. You know.
That's right. Well, now I see, I guess this is a blog here, one you wrote on your website, Meeting Fellow Cancer Survivors, the surprise blessing of interviewing people facing cancer. What is that about?
Yeah, that was kind of a behind the scenes, just about, like, so when I first got started, I will say I did not charge into doing this. Like, it was kind of hard for me at first. I really had to, I really believe that, and I don't think this happens to everybody who goes through cancer. I think a lot of people do want to do things to help other people, and they go on to do that, but not everybody does. And that's okay. Like, they don't all start organizations. And I don't think I felt like it was something God wanted me to do. So that's why I did it. And I remember that what you're referring to is, I started interviewing some people. It was at the cancer center I was treated, and we had it arranged, and there's actually a bunch of those videos on our website, but I was kind of scared to do it at first, because cancer took such a toll on me, and just mentally and all this stuff. I'm like, I don't know if I want to hear about how other people are suffering. I was scared. Yeah. I was really scared. And, but it was not what I thought at all. It was a huge blessing. And I have this connection with other survivors, and I for the rest of my life, I always will, you know? And so hearing their story does not weigh me down. I think it lifts me up. And, you know, I'd like to help tell their stories in a way that lifts up others too. Cause I think it's, it's incredible to, you know, share about how people find hope on their journey.
Yeah. I mean, I found that to be true myself doing these interviews. I've never, you know, I never started an organization or anything like that either, but you know, I found hope in this organization, Healing Strong. And so you go on the website and you find out, you know, a support group near you where you go and just learn about different ways of overcoming cancer or any kind of disease like that, that, you know, life-threatening. And but it helps people. They come together and they share their stories and they get encouraged by other people. And there's a curriculum we go through, and it's fantastic.
I think that's often a hole I've found is that, well, I think COVID kind of killed a lot of those groups too, you know, for a while. But I think the in-person support groups, if done well, can be amazing for people.
Yeah, I mean, Healing Strong is hundreds of support groups throughout the country and some other countries.
That's awesome.
There was none in my area, and there was like one, I think 2 hours from me. I thought, oh, now I feel the pressure. I got to start my own. But yeah, I started it, and we meet at the Cancer Survivors Park in downtown Greenville, and it's just a beautiful place. People come together and they hear each other's stories and they're encouraged, and we go through a curriculum that kind of teaches them, you know, how to get healthy, how to overcome whatever it is. And it's not the same for anybody. It's, you can't like say, hey, you're doing this, you're eating beans, so I'm going to eat beans and take care of it. You know, everybody's different. Their body is out of balance, you know, somehow. And you just got to pretty much find out whether it's toxins or whether it's too much stress, whether it's unforgiveness. I mean, there's, it's usually very complicated. It's not just one thing, but you take these steps and you find it, wow, God's teaching me how to take care of my body. And it's very encouraging. We find hope. How about that? Hope has arrived at these meetings.
I'm going to have to check one. I'm sure you got some in Colorado. I'm going to have to check it out.
Yeah, there is some in Colorado. I'm not sure exactly where because I wasn't looking for one there, but sure would like to move there and be it part of even though Greenville, South Carolina is great.
Yeah. Well, Colorado, we would welcome you.
Okay. I'll be there. But I have, you know, I found as I interview people for this podcast, it's just amazing the things I learn because I don't know a lot medically. I can't pronounce most of the words that I hear people talk about. I don't know how they keep them in their memory, but you know, I understand why they're saying it, but I can't repeat it to other people. But I'm learning so much and I'm enjoying it just seeing what people go through and what they're doing. So I understand what you're talking about in that blog.
Yeah.
So there, where do you see things going from here as far as the hope has arrived or what God has for you?
Yeah, well, you know, it continues to grow and, I think, you know, we've gotten some volunteers recently and I think we'll just continue to try to expand our reach. Mm-hmm. I'm about to have like some meetings with our board, you know, this coming month and, we're just kind of surprised it's gone as well as it has, you know, you know, it's been fun to get some more volunteers involved. And I think the sky's the limit because we're mostly digital. And I just think that's a pretty big space to be able to connect with people there. I mean, what we want in the future is cancer can be a pretty hopeless place. Mm-hmm. And especially you start searching around on Google and my hope for the future is that when people start searching online, and they, you know, there's a lot of these scary things and this is the diagnosis and the, you know, like some of that stuff, I had to not read that because it was so scary, you know, and I didn't really want to read about my particular type of cancer, but what I want and what is happening is that like some of our stories and articles from Hope Has Arrived are popping up in search and people are finding those. And we want to be a light of hope to help people find hope, strength, and peace as they're walking through it. And that's, you know, so I think as we continue to increase our reach, you know, in Google search and Facebook and all these other places, like we just want to be that place of hope for people. And also we're a place for people to tell their stories. It's been really fun. Like you think, oh, people aren't going to want to tell their story. They love telling their stories, you know, like yes. I think everybody wants to share it. So yeah, that's been a really encouraging part of the whole process too. So
yeah, I find that to be true, but at the same time, I find people who think, oh, my story is not that important. No one's going to, they love everyone else's stories, but they think theirs doesn't matter. And I was one of them myself. And then you realize, well, that's kind of dumb. I mean, your story just, it sounds boring to you because you already know it. I shouldn't say boring, but I mean, it sounds like no one's going to care about that one because, you know, I already know it. But when you tell your story, people are like, oh my gosh, that is amazing. And you got to do it because God uses it to bless others. You can't hold that back. I mean, it's a way to give back and to share hope with other people.
Yeah. Yeah. Everybody has a story to tell, and it's uniquely their story that, and I think when they don't tell it, they really hold back and keep mm-hmm. other people from being blessed by hearing it.
Yeah. I've been learning that because I am one of those people I talk about, but you know, I'm more of an introvert than an extrovert. So, I mean, it kind of fits, which is weird that I was in radio for 30 years and I'm an introvert. It doesn't go together. Well, how can people get a hold of you? Obviously they go to hopehasarrived.com, and that's probably where they need to go, right?
Yeah, that's a great way to get connected with us. You know, like there's a contact us, or I mean, they can even email me if they want, but it's chris@hopehasarrived.com.
Well, thank you so much. I'm glad our paths have crossed and I learned more about Hope Has Arrived and you learn more about Healing Strong, and it's all about hope.
Absolutely. Yeah. I really appreciate you having me on your show, and I look forward to interviewing you sometime too, Jim.
Yeah, it's going to be a killer. It's going to be great.
Awesome.
All right, we'll see you later.
All right, have a good one. God bless.
Look at that. Another great organization gathering stories of people overcoming cancer. Can't get enough of them. And what a great name. Hope Has Arrived. That tells it all, doesn't it? Okay, had to get Allie out of the room so we can talk about grown-up stuff. You know how she is. Like celebrating 10 years of a fast-growing organization. We're talking about Healing Strong. Can you believe it? It's been 10 years already. We were just kids. Well, maybe not 10 years ago, but we were at one time. And it's taking place in Houston, Texas at the Met Church on September 29th and 30th. So make your plans now. Buy your plane tickets. Get your mopeds out. Or, you know, whatever it takes to get there. It's going to be great. All the info is at healingstrong.org. And while you're there, think about joining the membership program with a monthly donation of $25 or $75, which will give you access to ebooks, webinars, discounts to events, a free meal at Allie's house. I haven't really set that last one up yet, but give me some time. All while making it possible for Healing Strong to reach more and more people. Sounds like a great plan to me. And if you're in the U.S., it's tax deductible. Who doesn't like that? And while you're there, of course, you can check out any groups near you. If you're not already a part of a support group, you can go on there and find out where they are. Start your own if there's none near you, or you can join a virtual group. Everything there at healingstrong.org. All right, let's land this plane. You've been listening to the I Am Healing Strong podcast. Every week we bring you stories of hope from people who are facing life-altering challenges and finding out that God has a plan for your life no matter what you're facing. It's all a part of the Healing Strong organization. To find out more about Healing Strong, go to their website at healingstrong.org.